What is up, everybody? Oh my gosh, this is my first time intro on the Social Hour. Hunter's always done it. What is everybody? Welcome back into another episode of the Social Hour. My name is Graham McLean, and today we have Brett with us. Hunter is, you know, busy with working with his dad, doing some stuff. So
he's at softball tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's at the Auburn softball game. Could have playing Jacksonville State, so he's helping out with that stuff. So he's busy today, can't make it, but. We have Brett filling in for him. You know, I was out last week, and now he's out right now. So Brett's been busy.
I was here.
Yeah. So Auburn had a huge, huge baseball win this week. Midweek game playing Georgia Tech. You know, they're ranked number 2 or 3 or something like that, and we're number 5 or something like that. So, and man, it was an absolute dominance win from them. I mean, what, scoring to being like 9-2 or something like that.
Yeah, so it was a 9-2 ball game, and that really doesn't tell the whole story. It was a 9-1 ball game really until about the 7th inning. Georgia Tech pushed across another run, but by that point the game was done. Auburn kind of had two really big innings. In the second inning they put up 3 runs. That's kind of when it broke open a little bit. Credit for Luke Gregorio, actually a freshman who had his first bomb on the season, who had had Plainsman absolutely rocking after that. That was, side note, that was probably one of the best crowds I've been a part of at Plainsman. And to do that for a midweek game was just speaks a lot to the fans. You know, Auburn fans will get behind their teams. It's about what the teams give to the fans back for being there.
That is very true.
And the baseball team is feeding off that energy. Chris Rembert had an absolute bomb that cleared the monster in left field. And yeah, I mean, it was just a fun game to be at. The energy was great. The vibe was great. They had a 5-run 5th inning, and Andreas Alvarez, the starter for Auburn, was just dominant in all facets of the game. I mean, he kind of had a slow start to the game, was struggling a little bit with command in the first inning, but he got out of it. And then after that, I mean, it was smooth sailing from there. And the Auburn pitching staff struck out, I think it was 16 strikeouts yesterday, against the best offense in the country. You know, Georgia Tech came in hitting like 390 as a team, leading the country in almost every major statistic for hitting. And our pitching staff, I mean, we just dominated them. It was incredible.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, I didn't get to watch the whole game. I was in and out of my apartment yesterday, but I feel like we kind of ran through their bullpen too. I mean, I feel like there would be someone coming in pitching for like 6 to 8 pitches, and then they're moving on to the next guy. And so I thought that was just super impressive as well. I mean, like, being able to do that helps you out a ton if you're able to get a team deep into their bullpen in a game. So that was really fun.
They threw 7 guys yesterday. So yeah.
That's wow.
And you know what? I hope that's what we're going to need to do this weekend, you know, with Texas coming in. Texas probably arguably besides us, you know, they might even be better than us, but they've got 3 really good guys. I mean, they've probably got the best pitching rotation in the country. But we'll see this weekend who's got the best pitching
record. Are they number 1? What is Texas ranked?
They're number 2 in the country. They're number right 2. Behind UCLA. Okay,
wow. What a week, you know, for Auburn baseball. That can like really make a statement and put themselves in that 1-2 spot. I mean, if you're able to beat 3 in the midweek and then go and, you know, win the series against Texas, man, that would be awesome. And
if we take the series against Texas this weekend, full permission to bug for Omaha. I mean, it's time. Yeah. It's time to call. Start. It's kind of like it. I turned to a guy yesterday, and I said, you know, this year's baseball team, and I don't want to jinx it at all, but this was kind of just how I felt in the moment. This year's baseball team feels a lot like last year's basketball team, where you've just got the pieces. A lot of the core stayed. You kind of built around them through the portal. You got the right guys, and it just feels like it's an all or nothing year where, you know, we're going to see how far we can take this. And hopefully it ends up with a national title.
Man, I wish Ike Irish was still on this team. If we just added that piece to this team, oh my gosh,
we're winning the money.
I kind of wanted to go off of something that you said a minute ago about how, like, you know, the fan base is showing up for this team, and like this team also is like, you know, buying into the fan base. And I think that is so apparent to also, like, I'm going to bring up the basketball game last night. this basketball team this year, in my opinion, did not buy into the fans. Like compared to 2025 basketball team did, because Hunter and I went to the NIT game last night, and man, that was a horrid first half. But like the amount of fans that were there, they got into it. And honestly, okay. The fans that were there, like, were probably like your diehard Auburn fans, like, you know, just love the sport, love Auburn. Mm-hmm. But that was the most empty I've ever seen Neville Arena in my life.
They showed it on the broadcast. I mean, it was terrible.
It was horrible. So the side, doing me wrong, it was a 9 o'clock tip. I get it.
But Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. The side I was on, which was on like the, you know, the student section side, I was up in the lower bowl, but not in the student section. But there was more people on that side than the other side. And then like the ends were just completely empty. And then the upper deck area, completely empty. There's nobody. And, wow. And like I said, the fans that were there, like, got into it and like were loud, but nothing compared to what Auburn basketball
should. What do you think it'll be like Saturday?
I don't even know. Like that, I don't know what to expect anymore. And they kind of, Village Vice and Brad and Zach kind of mentioned on it today, but you know, it could be something like where these fans are like, well, that's the NIT shouldn't be the standard, so I'm not going to support that. Mm-hmm. And I get that. And like, that is, if that's the case, that's exciting that like our fan base is like, we need to be better than this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of want to get your opinion real quick about the whole Keyshawn Murphy situation. Cause I mean, we Hunter and I were sitting in, you know, inside Neville waiting for the game when Justin Hogan dropped that tweet. And I mean, you could just heard whispers throughout the entire crowd. Like, you know, Neville's like catching on to this and started talking about it. What are your thoughts about that whole like situation and how it went down? And Steven even made a comment about like, he still doesn't know why Murphy did this.
I'm sure you can attest to this too, kind of leading up to the game, because we talked about it the other night at dinner. I had gotten some texts leading up to the game the other night about potentially some guys that, you know, didn't really want to be a part of the NIT, didn't really want to play, weren't super excited about it, and to kind of watch out for them to potentially not play or you know, kind of opt out like you do in bowl season for football. Yeah. None of those texts included Keyshawn Murphy. No. Not one of them.
You got the guys that were in those texts did play.
They played. Oh yeah. They played. And
they did well. I mean, one of them kept us in the first half.
And so
without him, we lose that game in the first half. It was
crazy. Oh, absolutely. And so it was a huge shock for me to see that Murphy was out. I've heard some things. I don't ever want to speak on a player's situation just because, you know, to give them that respect. It was very weird how he did sit out. And even Steven said after the game, hey, I really don't know what's going on there. And then you saw multiple guys on the team actually send out tweets later in the night saying kind of, no, he's still on our team. You know, we love Keyshawn, but he's just not going to be with us. And so it leads me to believe there might be some other things going on there that aren't really related to basketball. And so whatever it is going on, you know, I hope he gets what he needs and he's in a good place. It was kind of odd timing after he sent out that, you know, basically thank you to Auburn the other day.
Yeah,
that
it was like, I know what it means to wear orange and blue. Like,
right.
Like, oh, like this dude's an Auburn man now. Like, I love this guy. And then like right after that to pull something like this. And like I said, like you said, like, hopefully everything's okay. And like, you know, Steven said, we still love Murph. Like, my only thing about this is like, no matter what is happening, I, in my view, just reach out to coach and be like, coach, look, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to be able to play. Sorry. Like,
right.
Got some stuff happening. I love y'all, but I'm not going to be able to make the game. Like, that's just kinda, like, just so Steven's like, dude, we like, you're good.
Let
us know if there's anything we can do as a program to help you. Like, your family, whatever it is, needs to come first. And I get that.
It,
so
it feels like this entire year that, you know, to do that, it takes a lot of, and again, I don't want to put any words in Keyshawn's mouth, but it takes a lot of maturity to do something like that. And it feels like that has been a constant issue this year is almost maturity, you know, guys showing up late to practices, guys not being in film, guys doing things off the court that have, you know, come onto the court where they've been suspended. It feels like that's kind of been a common theme with this year's team. And I don't really, I don't know if that is that coming from coaching? Does the coaching staff need to do a better job? Or is it just the players? The players need to do a better job. You know, that's something we really only time will tell. You know, we'll know next year if these same problems keep happening. All right, maybe you've got to look at Steven or you got to look at the coaching staff. But I hate it. I really thought this team could make kind of a whatever statement you can make in the NIT. You kind of needed Murph to do that. I don't really know that I pick us to win this thing without facts. Murph. I mean, we don't have a guy that's over taller than 6'8" on the court now at any time.
And we got lucky last night, really in particular, playing against South Alabama because they didn't have a big guy. I mean, like they were in a very similar situation with us. Their best guy was out.
And that was a cop out.
Did not have a big guy.
That zone defense they play is the biggest, like, we don't have a big cop out way to, you know, kind of defense. Yeah. It was, we're gonna
make you shoot the three because we don't have a big guy to compete down low. So that we got lucky with that. And then, I mean, man, without Magwood and Overton last night in the second half, I mean, that team loses that game. I mean, what a performance by Overton, you know, making 7 threes in the second half alone. And ended on 21 points. All of his points came in the second half. And then Magwood just showing up and balling out.
Credit to Overton. He's shown up all year. He is not, now that I remember, I don't think he's had an issue at all this year. I don't think he's had to sit out of anything. Yeah, he really has just, he's been the bright spot.
There's only a lot of dark times. Can come back, so hopefully he does.
Yeah.
Before we get on to our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about March Madness in a minute. But we want to give a quick shout-out to Roback. Use code BARN20 on Roback.com to get 20% off your next order. They got so many different options, Auburn gear, any type of stuff. So make sure you go over there to Roback.com, and don't forget, use code BARN20. To get 20% off your next order. So yeah, March Madness is really about to get into full swing. You know, the first four or whatever first game started yesterday and move into tonight. And then tomorrow, Thursday, it starts first round, and we got a lot happening. So just have a little bit of fun with it. We're gonna kind of go over our brackets and stuff and who we think might win the whole dang thing. So who do you got, Brett?
So the winning the entire thing, I've got Michigan. Right now in my national championship game, I've got Michigan and Houston. And then my final four, I've got Michigan, Arizona, Houston, and UConn. So I do not have Duke and I do not have Florida making it to the final four. Gotcha. I have the fighting Dan Hurley's making it to the final four this year.
So I feel like this kind of happened last year, but last year, I think the competition last year was so, like, the one seeds were so much better than the rest of the field. Mm-hmm. Like so much better. Like, it was just going to be chalk. My final four this year is pretty chalk. I do have one team in there that's not a one seed. I do have Arizona losing in the Sweet 16 to Arkansas.
Wow.
I don't know.
And that's funny because I have Arkansas. Let's see. I have Arkansas going down in, I think I've got them going down in round two. Yeah, to Wisconsin.
Yeah. So I have Arkansas beating Arizona, and I have Arkansas going all the way to my final four. I have Michigan beating Arkansas in my final four, and then I have Duke beating Florida. So it's a Duke-Michigan national championship with Duke winning the whole thing.
Who's your biggest, though,
because I'm not 100% comfortable with it. But that's my biggest official
surprise
bracket.
Team. Who's your biggest surprise team?
Ooh.
I will say, my biggest surprise team before today was going to be Louisville. I had Louisville going all the way to my Elite Eight, beating Duke. But after I found out that Mikel is out for the tourney, I quickly changed, and now I've got them losing in the round of 32. I'm not going to buy into the upset to South Florida. I never buy into the popular upset picks. I'd say my biggest surprise teams are probably I've got UCLA as a team that could potentially make a run. I don't have them in my bracket doing this, but I think they could easily make a run. And then St. John's, I think you could look up, and St. John's is in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. So I have in this bracket, I have subject to change. I kind of made this bracket right off the rip when Sunday Selection Sunday came out. I have Akron making Sweet 16.
Wow, you have, so you have Akron beating Texas Tech and then Hofstra or Alabama?
I'm beating Alabama.
Wow, that would be
interesting to see without Aiden Holloway. I mean, like I'm assuming Aiden Holloway won't play in any of the March Madness. Like, there's just no way. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they have Phylon. He's really good, but I mean, Aiden Holloway is their second best scorer.
I like Akron. I don't think it's crazy to say that he's their best 3-point shooter.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, yeah,
they live and die by the three. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what this Bama team can do without Aiden Holloway, because he hasn't been hurt. So like he's played all year.
They're in a rough region too. I mean, to get to, I know Jay, is it JT Toppin is out for Texas Tech, but I mean, they've got to run through Texas Tech. They've got to go through either Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia, Iowa State. I mean, that's such a tough region for them. Just in general, for any team to make it out of the Midwest. That's why I've got Michigan winning it all. I think anyone that comes out of that Midwest region could potentially win it all.
Is Yak still going to be back? I know he got hurt in the conference tournament. I think he twisted his ankle.
Everything like that I've seen, they will be at full strength.
Okay, good. That's good.
Now there is somebody else. Duke is missing two guys. Obviously UNC is missing Caleb Wilson.
I don't have UNC making that like the second round or even the first.
I don't either. I have them losing to Illinois. I've got them beating VCU. Yeah. I really didn't take any. I really didn't take any 11 over 6.
Four or six. I mean,
I've got BYU beating Texas. I really went pretty chalk for the first round. I went pretty chalk for the first round. I mean, we'll see. It's so hard to predict an upset. It really is. I mean, I think any of them could, but
yeah. So I'm someone that typically like I only make one bracket, but this year I made two, and my second bracket was not my picks. Threw the bracket into ChatGPT and was like, I need you to make me the perfect bracket. And there will be upsets. Like,
make no mistakes.
There will be upsets. Like, make no mistakes. There will be upsets. Make me a bracket. So it was crazy. I mean, it has South Florida being Louisville. That's an 11-6. Mm-hmm. It has McNeese beating Vanderbilt 12-5.
Wow.
It has VCU being North Carolina 11-6. It has Texas A&M beating St. Mary's, which is a 10-7. It has High Point beating Wisconsin, which is a 12-5. It has Texas beating BYU, which is 11-6.
This is not going to happen.
I know. It's so interesting. And then it has Akron beating Texas Tech, which is a 12-5.
AJ DeBonzo.
I'm making this bracket just out of like, I want to see how well this does.
So what did you think of that Texas NC State game last night?
Crazy.
I watched that game and I said, whoever wins this game is getting destroyed by BYU.
And then let's see. So this has McNeese making the Sweet 16, has VCU making the Sweet 16, and has High Point making the Sweet 16.
Oh my goodness. I mean, High Point's good. That is kind of a sleeper team, but Wisconsin's kind of a buzzsaw. I don't know. I really like Wisconsin this year.
Alabama going to the Elite Eight. And then the Final Four for ChatGPT is UConn, Houston, and then Arizona versus Iowa State, which was like,
That's a good final. Now
that's a pretty good final.
The biggest scare for me is Houston. I've got them in my national championship.
Yeah.
The analytics don't love Houston that much when it comes to just because I see there. It's a hard team when they're playing their best. They're one of the best in the country. But they've had some slip-ups this year, and I get nervous. But I am going to live and die by the experience that they have and a Kelvin Sampson defense. I mean, I'm going to live and die by that.
So then this ChatGPT bracket has UConn winning the whole thing against Arizona.
Wow.
And it even gave me a total score, which is at 142.
What a treat we would get to see Dan Hurley coach in every single round of this year's tournament. I mean, he's good for at least two or three techs in that, right?
Yeah, literally. I saw something that was like, I can't remember who it was, but there's another coach that is like offense rocker.
It's UCLA's coach.
It's UCLA. Yeah. So everyone's like, we need that matchup.
We need the
second round so bad. Yeah. Because that would just be so fun.
They'd both have to leave the game. They're both going to get thrown out. I mean, it's.
Do you think Miami, Ohio wins tonight?
No, I think SMU wins.
They're playing SMU, right? Yeah. I think SMU runs them out of the gym.
I think so too.
And then I think people finally see, like, dang, we should not have put them in.
That's
what it is.
I don't think it matters because who's the sixth seed that they will play? They'll play what can I think of it right now? Who's the sixth seed that they'll play? Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, they play Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee runs both of them out of the gym anyways.
I
hope it's a good game. You know, I'm all for this. Yeah. I know we've kind of had our issues with Miami, Ohio because of the Auburn situation and should they have been in, should they have not have been in. At this point, Auburn's not in. I don't really, you know, I like to see Cinderellas. I like to see upsets.
You're just going to get less and less every year because of NIL. It's going to be like the bracket's going to be more and more chalk every year.
We'll see. I don't know if I'm ready to admit that that's going to happen. If this year's Final Four goes all chalk again like last year's, I think I'll be ready to say, hey, you know, the teams at the top are just too good. But I mean, there's an argument for both, you know, it's, you're not going to get the same Cinderella stories, but you know, two weekends later, you get better matchups. So it's kind of a catch 22. Cause I mean, you know, you still have those McNeese runs where, okay, they finally do get to a team that's really good. And then they get ran out of the gym. But, I still think there could be some upsets this year.
Yeah. Brad, appreciate you hopping on here today. I don't think we have anything else. Make sure that y'all go like the video, subscribe to The Barn, go check out all the other shows we got, like, you know, The Barn Baseball Show, Village Vice, the Top Button Podcast. There's so much content coming out from Auburn. Go follow them on all their socials, all that stuff. I think that's about it. We appreciate y'all for watching, and we will see y'all tomorrow. Goodbye.